good evening. Okay, that's about it. Happy Halloween, everybody. The fact of the matter is, the music wouldn't play, the little gizmo thingy. So we will have to get by with a cold opening. So, good evening. Okay, yeah. This is it's the Halloween program, I guess. I mean, we can talk in funny voices all night if we want to. Hey, it's not like there are any network executives here to tell us otherwise, right? I mean, you're the network executives. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com. It is Halloween 2014, and I welcome you one and all. Or not, you know. Wait. Okay, are we now all sufficiently Halloween-y? So it's Friday on the front porch for Halloween, the last day of October 2014. I'm Bob Kincaid, and headonradionetwork.com is our home. The reason we didn't have the intro music is because the tired old production machine is grinding. So you'll pardon, I'm in the chat room, but you'll pardon me if I'm not in the chat room just yet. It looks like we're facing a restart here, but that's okay. It is, sufficiently Halloweenish here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cole, Virginia. It's cold, it's raining, and south of here, not north of here, but south of here, a few inches of snow are expected tonight. Now, I don't think we're expecting it, but one never knows. Hey, okay. All right, I admit it. It throws me off my game when things don't work quite right. So, yeah, there's the restart. We'll get a fresh start on the PC and then get a fresh start on the program, too. Of course, if you want to jump into the chat room, where I am not right now, but will be in short order, I remind you, you can always go to headonradionetwork.com, and the chat room tab is right there. It's easy to join. And it would be great to have a big old room full of people this evening move here into the end, the very end. What, there's a little less than 6 hours left here on the East Coast of October. It would be nice to have a great big old rousing Halloween group in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group here for Friday on the front porch. You know, we reserve Fridays for our roundtable of extraordinary, ordinary folks who are expert at carrying the world on their backs. And if you've never joined the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, just send a contact request on Skype, to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, and Sparky will get you right into the group, and you'll be part of the ongoing conversation. Now, also at headonradionetwork.com, you will find access to the pop-out players, and you will find access to years and years and years and years of podcasts. And it's all right there on the main page. And, of course, the ever-present contribute page with access to PayPal And since we haven't quite gotten around to doing it yet, let me repeat the mailing address if you prefer to operate that way. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V 25801. And reminder, you know, if you're no checks, no money orders should ever be made payable to Bob Kincaid, because that's not how it works. Boss Man Wayne goes to the mailbox and takes care of the bill paying. All clear now? Okay, goody. So where do we begin this evening? Let's see. Oddly enough, this Friday on the Front Porch sort of themed itself up, as it were, as a Halloween full of things that ought to be Halloween stories, but aren't. No, these are real terror. These are real stories of horror in America. Yeesh. my particular favorite from earlier in the day. We all know what a colossal yahoo Kirk Cameron is. You know, he's a evangelical fundamentalist who is mighty sure that he's going to be, he may very well be the lone occupant of heaven when he gets there.
Come on in, Kirk. It's been kind of lonely around here. I've had to send everyone else to hell waiting for you.
Yeah. The evangelical community has become irked at Kirk. See what I did there? Halloween, right? I guess that's a treat. They become irked at Kirk because Kirk came out in favor, sort of Halloween? Saying that Halloween is a time to make fun of Barack Obama, of course. And that Halloween's history involves people dressing up in costumes so as to frighten away ghosts and goblins and spookies and yada, yada, yada. Enter Mike Gendron of proclaimingthegospel.something. I'm not going to promote his stupid website. And he got in touch with an outfit called Christian News Network. Yeah. And said that, wow, you'd think we'd be past this now, or by now. He said that, no, Kirk Cameron was wrong because he was a papist. He was being all papisty, engaging in popish behavior. Because Halloween is all tied up with medieval, pagan practices of Roman Catholicism. Because, well, the Roman Catholics are noted pagans. Never mind the fact that it was the Roman Catholic Church which suppressed the pagans. And, well, you know, there's also pagan, the idea of paganism, doesn't that somehow go to, isn't that Latinate, and doesn't it have something to do with living in the country? Whatever. But what was fun was that Mike Gendron declared that Roman Catholicism was different from biblical Christianity. The two faiths are diametrically opposed to one another, meaning Roman Catholicism and biblical Christianity. Yeah, the guys who invented a Christianity a few hundred years after Martin Luther, even, they got the right one.
Mm-hmm.
The two faiths are diametrically opposed to one another. I strongly disagree with Kirk Cameron and would encourage him to avoid celebrating anything that has to do with the pagan practices of the apostate Roman Catholic Church.
Right, because the Roman Catholics broke away from Mike Gendron.
The reason Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on a church door on October 31st, 1517, was because the very next day, All Saints Day, Catholics would be coming to the church to venerate the bones and relics of dead saints. The Castle Church of Wittenberg had over 1,900 relics of dead saints on display. Catholics were granted indulgences for the remission of sins if they venerated the relics and made confession of their sins. This practice of necromancy is strictly forbidden by God!
Really? Necromancy? We're hauling out necromancy? Well, okay, Mike Gendron.
Yeah, Fred, hey, go get the Gendron and Gendronize the guy down in the dungeon real quick. Oh, they hate it when we Gendron him.
Kirk Cameron needs to repent of his message that urges Christians to participate in this dark holiday that glorifies the devil, ghosts, goblins, and witches. On October 31st, while Kirk Cameron is urging people to celebrate Halloween, our ministry will be encouraging people to remember the reformers who were brutally tortured, murdered, and burned at the stake by the Roman Catholic Church for defending the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ! Okay, that much is true. The Roman Catholic Church burned, murdered, killed, persecuted, tortured, tormented a whole lot of people on the premise that they were witches. That's true. But it is not why the 95 Theses, I don't know, do we have time this evening? Do we want to go through the 95 Theses? I don't particularly want to, but we could. Indulgences were a big part of the Luther's complaint, but that had to do with the institutional corruption of the church. Because see, the church that Luther went on to more or less found, it still believes in saints and the veneration thereof. That's why a whole lot of Lutheran churches are named Saint this or that. I mean, not Saint this or that, but you get the meaning. On the other hand, Mike Gendron don't get nothing. No, Halloween is not steeped. No, damn it, no. This is Samhain. Samhain, and no, I don't understand where the W comes from, but it is. It's Samhain. This is the end of October, and this is the ancient day marked by primarily Celtic cultures, if I recall correctly, that goes from the harvest. Okay, so there's the harvest celebration in September, and then the end of October, and you get Samhain. And Samhain was celebrated a heck of a lot earlier than any Christian practice. It's on this date because this date is about halfway between the autumnal equinox and the winter solstice. Something similar was celebrated in Ireland. It was celebrated in Cornwall. It was celebrated in Wales. It was celebrated in Brittany. It was celebrated in Scotland. And probably on into the continent. And it is a festival. This is the time of year when livestock would be driven back down from summer pastures where it would start getting really brutally ugly cold into the lowlands. And there would be a big party about this time, and some of the livestock would be killed for the winter.
Yeah.
And it's also one of the times in the superstitions of that of that the, of the ancients, and I don't mean that negatively, that they felt like the veil between the spirit world and this world was particularly thin. I don't much believe in a spirit world, but by the same token, I don't take issue with people who do. Because there's a difference between, say, how Wiccan folks view the spirit world as opposed to people like Mike Gendron, who thinks that there are demons marching around the earth. Oh, for pity's sakes. And as Robert in Australia has reminded us, Halloween has never really caught on in Australia, so congratulations, Australia. Well, hey, Waggy. Waggy says it's 1:15 a.m. and I'm in the capital, Antananarivo. See, I got it on the third try. Glad you've had good travels, Waggy. So hopefully we've gotten Kirk Cameron out of the way, and you know, if you choose to do something to celebrate Samhain or Halloween or whatever, get more power to you. And don't let some weirdo right-wing religion industry puke mess with you. Oh my God, what? What? A little note coming in here. Rumor has it Congresswoman Michelle 1L Bachmann will be joining the roundtable discussion on Satan's Holiday. Oh, dear. It could prove interesting. Very interesting indeed. If you want to use any of the particular phone lines we have, both of them, 304-574-8178, that's the Skype phone line, and because it comes in through Skype. You don't have to have Skype to use it. That's just it's attached to a Skype account. Or the Gizmo line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. A whole bunch of sixes in there. Does that kind of put you off a little bit? Either way, if you've got big doings for Halloween, by all means, feel free to share. And we will... We'll just see where things go from there, from here. I did a restart on the PC, so... I'm getting some of that taken care of. Ron and Raleigh with a note. Hey, Bob, have you noticed that Christians lay claim that even pre-Christian rites and beliefs are somehow demonic or of the devil? Well, sure they do. They do. And that's something they've been doing since ancient times. What's that? You have a holiday around the winter solstice, and slaves get to be their masters, and masters have to be the slaves, and there's a lot of silliness involved, and it's dedicated to the god Saturn? What? Oh, no, that's not Saturn. That's Christ Mass. What do you mean, how do we know that's the day Christ was born? It is because we said so. We made it up. What do you mean he couldn't possibly have been born at... Anything is possible with God? Burn the heretic.
So I got a question. Is October 31st the day the music died? Because, you know, there's that line in American Pie where he says he saw Satan dancing with delight the day the music died. Is that October 31st? No. When did Buddy Holly's plane crash? Sorry, got a little carried away. Note coming in from our buddy Alan the trucker. Now, I assure you, Alan did not drive to where he is writing from. But actually, Alan's in Poland. Really? He said, I got a note from Alan earlier in the day. They want communism back. He said, a taxi driver told us that he wants communism back because capitalism is such a failure. They never had people going through garbage for food during communist times. I do not think I agree with communism, yet unregulated capitalism they have in Poland is like that of the USA. Then we talked to a man who was sent to Siberia. He didn't like Roosevelt because his pact with Stalin that left Poland communist. And two people we talked to think the Republicans in the U.S. have the right idea of standing strong against Putin and Russia. Oh, for pity's sakes. Okay. Thank you, Carol Baker. Buddy Holly, February 3rd, 1959, the crash. That's the day the music died. That's when Satan was laughing with delight, not Halloween. It just, you know, a little message to Kirk Cameron and Mike Gendron. And is that fella done with the Gendronizer yet? Okay. Well, tell him to hurry up. Somebody else needs the Gendron. Meanwhile, Alan is having a fascinating cultural adventure in Poland. I got a note from him last night saying, "In Poland, I'm in Poland getting dental work. I'm visiting my my woman friend's relatives and getting dental work. I found out talking to the dentist that the government pays for their schooling." And I do believe it's free or close to being free, and they have students from other countries, including the USA. The beer is wonderful, says Alan. Always, you know, there's always got to be a beer review. Thank you. And not that expensive at about $1.75 a pint of very good dark beer. Ooh, dark beer. A person can go to the store and buy a beer and drink it while walking down the sidewalk as long as they're not drunk. It's amazing all the different types of cars and vans and trucks. I've been here almost a week and have not seen one pickup truck. There are plenty of streetcars. Most people here dress nicely, and the women are beautiful. And then Alan says, I do not understand the Polish jokes I heard all my life. In America, of course. These people work hard and drive well, according to live well, according to what they have. Well, of course, the answer to that is that Polish jokes are a uniquely American invention because we humorously persecute any group that is deemed to be different. And, of course, there was a large swath of Polish immigration into the United States, and they were the new kids on the block for a while, so they got the grief. It's also where Italian jokes come from. And it's also where Irish jokes come from, and Scottish jokes, and, you know, it's all born out of a certain amount of hatred and xenophobia. Yeah. Let's see. What else? And where else? No, I said that there were stories that should be kind of Halloween stories, but aren't. They are entirely real. Here's one that I think goes a little too far. The vine of it has been disappeared. You know, vines are little mini videos. Here we go. Maybe it's here after all. Let's see. Oh, not again. Where'd the audio go? Okay, so, in the video, you'll see a woman wearing a surgical mask. And she is holding a digital thermometer in front of a young boy. And I guess the kid had been misbehaving, whatever that means. So mommy mommy takes his temperature and then tells him he has Ebola. Really? At which point the little boy bursts into tears and begins to cry uncontrollably. Ha ha! Yeah. Ha ha! Isn't that funny? Terrorizing a child. Yeah, that's very true. Sandra with a quick tweet in about, you know, the origins of ethnic jokes. Yeah, there were Irish jokes, then there were Italian jokes and Polish jokes, and Sandra says, yeah, until they become white. Next up, Hispanics. Yeah, it's a constant search for whiteness. Of course, we know that there is one group who will never, never, never be white. And that brings us to a story from WMAQ in Illinois. And J Stream Middle School, where a substitute teacher was working this past Wednesday. And a substitute teacher, well, let's go to WMAQ's own report, assuming that we've got, you know, audio this time.
Zaria Daniels say the teacher first asked them about the Emancipation Proclamation, then called them African American.
All four of us that were sitting there got offended because none of us are from Africa. I'm Jamaican. So we said, can you please not call us that? And she continued to call us that. And she said, well, it's the politically correct term. Then she said, well, back then you guys would be considered the N-word. And we were so shocked, and we were like, what? Excuse me? That's not correct to call us that. And she's like, well, back then that's what African Americans were called.
I was really sad and shocked.
Both girls say they decided to tell the story for the same reason.
I just want people to know how much it affected us, and I don't want this to happen to anybody else.
Late this afternoon, the school district told us the substitute teacher had been interviewed and corroborated the girls' description of what happened. A district spokesperson said the substitute will not be asked back, but Mia Thompson's mom says that's not enough.
After the shock and hurt, I'm angry.
At the end of the interview, she told us she's on the way to the Carroll Stream Police Department to give her statement, and she'd like to find out if the teacher can be charged with disorderly conduct.
It's a new world, and the people of the past that still hang on to hatred and bigotry don't belong in this world anymore.
Okay, by that, I don't think she means that the substitute needs to be taken out and shot or put in a FEMA re-education camp or anything like that. But mama's got a right to be pissed. And no, the children actually are more well-mannered than the substitute teacher was. Because in the clip you heard, of course, the young women say, she said, then you would be called the N-word. Well,
See, that's the important part here. Substitute teacher did not use the phrase N-word. She used the whole word. Why? Why? I'm just checking in here. A lot of good memories. A lot of people with good memories in the Horn family congregation, commune. Prior to, say, 2008, from, like, say, 1980 to, 1975 to 2008, were the news stories of which you were aware, was it like there was a story a day involving the use of that word? Because I don't remember it. But I also don't think that this is a function of, well, you know, they've been doing it all along, but now that one's in the White House, by God, we're going to crack down. No. Something has happened to this country since 2008. And see, there's a dog whistle word there, because the substitute teacher used the word, the phrase, politically correct. Anytime in the second decade of the 21st century now, and moving forward, you hear someone say, well, that's the politically correct term, with or without the goofy accent, you can be pretty well assured of just exactly who you're dealing with. Hint, it ain't somebody from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. You're not talking to an equality person. What do you mean, African American? I'm from Jamaica. You know, and there's the word. Like I said, yeah, everybody eventually when the hate and the fear begins to wear off, everybody gets to be white, except the people who will never get to be white. So that's Illinois. Let's amble over to North Carolina, Stan. Hi, Ron. And this woman is not a substitute teacher. She's the real thing. Carol pointing out, overt racism, it's the new black. But don't worry. As soon as President Blackenstein leaves office, if the Dems nominate a woman and she's actually elected, it's going to be a whole new day for overt sexism. President Blackenstein will be replaced by President Vagzilla. Oh, God, it's true. I mean, I remember prior to 2008, maybe I was a bit of a Pollyanna. But I remember prior to 2008 arguing against Hillary as president, because I argued, and it's back there in the archives somewhere, I argued that nothing would get done because the Republicans would spend all of their time having a Hillary hissy. A Hillary-issy? A Hillary? But you know what I mean. That it would be 4 to 8 years of nothing but Vince Foster! And I went out in my backyard in Indiana and shot watermelons, and I know for a fact that that woman killed Vince Foster. Mena Airport! And looking back, I realize I was profoundly naive. Because the Repiglickens will attack anyone with a D after their name. I mean, Jesus Christ, if Mussolini came back and ran as a Democrat for the presidency, the Republican National Committee and the Koch brothers and Americans for Prosperity and Cross Stitch Point Roads GPS, Karl Rove, would be there with a series of unending attack ads like, Benito Mussolini is the most liberal candidate ever to run for the presidency of the United States. And Glenn Beck would host a rally to point out that fascism was actually liberal progressivism. And
I guess in a way I misunderstood. Thank you, George. I'm so glad George is not here tonight. Oh, man, that's an old reference. I don't think anybody under 80 will get that one. But really, the Republican Party is nothing. They've nothing left but opposition. But by the same token, what Carol says is true. If we should happen to wind up with President Hillary Clinton, it'll be 4 years more of Benghazi. And by the way, another argument in favor of, if you've got Amazon Prime or some means thereof, to watch it, for watching Alpha House Season 2, because they're having a whale of a good time with Benghazi. Lots of good Benghazi jokes in there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to North Carolina, Stan, where Cynthia Ramsey is not a substitute teacher, but is actually a full-time teacher, a math teacher, okay, a math teacher. Explain to me how this gets into math class, dunno, at Camden County High School in North Carolina. This story comes via WAVY-TV. Oh, that's true. That is absolutely true, Carol. Carol asking, also, when was the last time you heard anyone mention a male candidate's age or cankles? You know what cankles are, right? Cankles are what you get if there's no clearly defined in the eyes of the beholder definition between the calf of the leg and the ankles. And, you know, Hillary's got cankles. Well, okay. Just think back to all the Hillary jokes you already know. How about the one about, have you heard about, because I've heard these. These are all things that I've heard in West Virginia. Have you heard about the Hillary special at Kentucky Fried Chicken? And that's how they laugh. It's two small breasts and a left wing. Oh, yeah. And I think that's why they are so yearning, because the only ones you hear talking about how Hillary's, she's got to be the president. Jesus, God, the oxymoron, Flush Flimball, who keeps his wife in a pit, has been hollering for, he was sure she was going to run in 2000. And then it was a lead pipe cinch. My friend, she's going to run in 2004. Oh, and then when she finally did run in 2008, my friends, those Clintons will take that Obama fellow out to Arkansas and he'll never be heard from again because, well, the Clintons kill people. Excellence in broadcasting. Yeah. So anyway, WAVY-TV has the report of a complaint from a student's mother named Kimberly Ashcraft. Kimberly Ashcraft is right pissed, and rightfully so. It was apparently lunch hour, or lunch hour for some particular grade, at Camden County High School when math teacher Cynthia Ramsey engaged in a conversation at lunch with one of the students who happened to be Kimberly Ashcraft's daughter. Kimberly Ashcraft's daughter came home and said, Mama, Ms. Ramsey was talking to me at lunch today, and we was talking about our bucket lists. Jesus, bucket lists for, you know, high school sophomores? I thought that was something you started contemplating when you had your midlife crisis, male or female. Oh, well. Silly me. Mama, Ms. Ramsey is talking about her bucket list, and she told me, she said, if I only had 10 days to live, I'd kill all black people. Would this be easier if I played some, like, Halloween movie music? Or you know, the tubular bells or something? Mrs. Ashcraft said, I was completely shocked. I asked her again, are you sure that's what you heard? I couldn't have imagined a teacher saying that. But a complaint was made, and the sheriff, the high sheriff of Camden County, North Carolina, Stan, went around and interviewed some of the other students. And the other students said, yeah, that's what she said. If she only had 10 days to live, she'd kill all black people. She was suspended without pay for a couple of days. And then she came back on the job. Superintendent of schools there in Camden County said, we will thoroughly investigate this here incident, but all the findings are going to be confidential until the case is resolved because it's a personnel matter. Meanwhile, the sheriff has turned over his evidence to the district attorney, the sheriff apparently thinking there's enough evidence to at least let the district attorney make a determination as to whether it was said. Oh, for pity's sakes. What's interesting here, or at least probably warrants mention, because, this is me doing some imagining. Maybe I'm entirely, completely, totally, and utterly wrong. But you might think that Kimberly Ashcraft, who made the complaint, was a person of color. She's not. So maybe that's a good sign. Ms. Ramsey, full disclosure, I have Ramseys in my background. No relation, I don't think. Ms. Ramsey is the head of the math department at Camden County High School in North Carolina, Stan. And, wow. Just wow. Let's see. Melvin Hawkins is the superintendent of schools there, and he said, at this point, our main concern is to investigate this incident thoroughly and collect the facts. That's a personnel issue, and it's confidential till resolved. We are following protocol in this investigation, and student and school employee investigations are confidential. So a few minutes before that, this woman was apparently sitting in a classroom saying, now, you have to make sure that both sides of the equation balance. And by the way, while we're talking about balance, you know what? If I found out I only had 10 days to live, I'd kill all black people.
Good.
No, I'm not telling that one, Devin. You're just that's just awful. Sometimes we just have to keep things in check. And then this. And for the life of me, I mean, sort this one out. Merca. But of course, not just Merca. This is horrifying. I mean, this is a murder case. Isaiah Marin was watching Christian videos, apparently about the book of Matthew. And after watching the Christian videos about the book of Matthew,
Isaiah Marin picked up a sword, because, you know, homes just have swords in them, and ran through a 19-year-old boy by the name of Jacob Crockett. This happened at an apartment in Stillwater, Oklahoma, which is, of course, the home of Oklahoma State University. Then Isaiah Marin called 911 and said he'd murdered somebody, and then started, here we go, babbling about magic and sacrifices. Why? Well, apparently young Mr. Crockett was known for being a Christian religious zealot. Believed that Mr. Crockett, Marin was a zealot, believed Crockett was a warlock, and in the process of the attack, didn't just run him through the chest, but continued to hack away until he had pretty nearly decapitated 19-year-old Mr. Crockett. Good thing we're using $8 million a day to bomb those headloppers in the ISIL over there in the Middle East. Because, you know, just ask Bill Maher. The only people who ever chop heads off are Muslims. Someday, we're going to get the Star Trek universe. When we'll be past all this religious BS. By the way, in addition to being a religious zealot, apparently young Mr. Isaiah Marin was also a meth head. Meth heads for Christ, you know, they're right back there in the far corner of the church every Sunday morning. Dude, I see him. Wow. Well, it's begun in the chat room with regard to Teacher Ramsey in North Carolina, Texas T., with a math lesson. Find the square root of, I'm going to kill all the black people. Carol follows up with, the square root of kill all the blacks is KKK. Wow. So, I mean, you know, Halloween. Who needs Edgar Allan Poe at this point? Telltale Heart my ass! And, of course, it should not go without mention, as if we haven't, that Tuesday is Election Day. That's when the real tricks are going to be delivered. Oh, by the way, Wait. I want to back up to the Oklahoma story for a minute. Just for an inquiry, has the National Republican Rifle Association issued a press release yet saying
Well, if only that young warlock had had him a gun.
In 3, 2, right. And, from the This Ain't Funny Anymore department, now, this bill, it's either on its way to the desk of the governor or has been signed into law. I'm not sure. It's a couple of stories, a couple of weeks old, but it bears, you know, let's not get out of October without mentioning this. Now, remember how the Repiglican Party is forever talking about how the best government is local government. If you got to have any government at all, it should be local government. And we don't want no federal action. I mean, didn't we hear that from Ted, the son of Rafael Cruz, who was anointed King of America by his daddy a year or so ago? Yes, we did. Well, so let's consider the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. In the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, sometimes municipalities and, you know, townships and things like that, they got all kinds of different kind of municipalities in Pennsylvania, might consider laws that are a little bit more stringent than those of the state or the federal government. The Pennsylvania legislature has created a singular cause of action. The Pennsylvania legislature actually took up legislative time to craft a law that would give standing to the National Rifle Association should the National Rifle Association wish to sue a city or a municipality or what have you, to make sure that if that city has passed an ordinance, what have you, that makes it, that restricts access to firearms in said city. Trick or treat. Yeah. It went through the House. It went through the Senate. It's waiting on the governor's desk, and the governor has previously said he'd sign it. Under the bill, the NRA can go out and sue a town or a city over any local gun law. And here's the important part. They don't have to find a local plaintiff who objects. The NRA can just come in, even though, you know, the NRA is headquartered in Fairfax, Virginia. Then go over into PA and say, screw you! We're the NRA, and we say you can't have your stupid law that tries to protect your citizens. Governor Tom Corbett has not signed yet, but he is expected to sign in short order. What's one of the first laws it's expected the NRA will sue over? Well, Philadelphia is one of about 20 Pennsylvania municipalities, according to NBC News,
that have passed a law that says if you're a gun owner and your firearm is either lost or stolen, you have to report the loss or the theft to law enforcement. Really? We're not talking about a law that says you can't have a gun in Philly. I mean, Now, if I had a house full of guns, firearms, and somebody come in and stole them, and that happens in West Virginia all the time. Please understand, in West Virginia, firearms are more liquid as an asset than cash. People invest in investment-grade firearms in this state, and probably in Tennessee stand, and Alabama stand, and Kentucky stand, and Virginia stand, and North Carolina, and, you know, all over the place. Knew a guy once, a good friend of mine, had a federal firearms license. He had some of the most beautiful shotguns I had ever seen in my life. I mean, the Belgian affairs, Belgian Brownings, with etchings and curlicues and pictures of duck hunts and shit on them. If you ever took them out into the duck blind and got so much as a scratch on them, you would cry all the way home. Mint condition, almost museum piece quality. True exemplars of the gunsmith's art. Now, why in the hell wouldn't you report that to law enforcement? I mean, wouldn't you want your homeowners to cover the loss? But no, that's offensive to the Constitution of the new United States of America, and the only part of the Constitution that even matters anymore is the Second Amendment. And the only thing that'll stop a bad guy who steals your guns is if you don't tell anybody that the bad guy stole your guns, because you don't have any guns anymore. And if you tell the police that the bad guy stole your guns, he's liable to come back and shoot you with your guns for reporting that your guns were stolen by the bad guy. Why? Because the NRA says that ain't no towns and cities should be able to pass a law what the state ain't. Oh, really? Joe Scarnati, over pig licking from Western PA, is the president pro tem of the Pennsylvania Senate, and he said, this is about your consistency of your gun laws. Okay, well, Joe Scarnati, you're the president pro tem of the goddamn Senate in Pennsylvania. Why don't you get after it and pass you a commonwealth law there that says folks what gets their guns stolen has to report them to the police? Well, because freedom! Wolverines! Who knows? The man that steals my gun may be needing to steal my gun to protect freedom from that Kenyan Muslim socialist, you slurper, anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people. By the way, let's say a municipality passes a restrictive law regarding a woman's right to choose. Well, the NRA can come in and sue over a gun law, but Planned Parenthood can't come in and sue on behalf of affected women without finding a plaintiff. And Jesus, the last line of this NBC News report just absolutely, well, The NRA says cities that want to stay out of legal trouble should start repealing local gun laws now. Yeah, it's a nice little city you got there. Sure would be a shame if something happened to it. They're not even pretending anymore. The NRA are a bunch of, they're making the Cosa Nostra look like a bunch of sissies. It's Halloween, but that ain't funny. Wowzer. We have got a humongous Halloween crowd in the Horn chat room. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Carol Baker and Devin and Dwayne and HZ and Jan and Jerry and John and Jugapunch and Kelly and Kennergenics and Lance Rocks and Michael and Ron and Sergi and Stockton Larry and Texas T and Waggy and Will, all capably moderated by long-term veteran indefatigable chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Wowzer. Yeah, okay, good morning, HZ. It's morning, apparently. Well, it's morning in Taiwan. I suspect we may have ourselves a rousing good bunch for Friday on the front porch. It is apparently raining, gloriously so, I might add. It is apparently raining out in Northern California. The subject line at the head of the chat room this evening from Sparky says, "My porch is damp and wet, but the Skype group is nice and dry." It's also morning in Madagascar, where Waggy is. Wow, we are growing in our international scope. What's the weather like in China tomorrow morning, Steve? Hey, we could add the global weather report to the program. How's the weather in Minsk? Probably sunny and warm in Sydney, right, Robert? So, yeah, Halloween. I do have my favorite creepy, not really Halloween story that works really nicely for Halloween here, on hand, but I'd rather go to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group and the extraordinary, ordinary round table of experts. Okay, that's bizarre. Carol telling me weird shit going on with the feed, you, then the Green News, then Rick Smith, and then me again. Well, the only thing going on here is me, but I tell you what, while we take a break, I will shoot a note to Ben Birch and see if I can find out what the heck's going on. Oh, by the way, thanks going out, tremendous thanks to Linda and to Janie and to Thomas. We are done with fundraising for the evening, and we could even, if we wanted to, get a start on the month of November, if we were so inclined. So thank you very much. Of course, we got out in front a little bit last night with the help of Reinhard. Thank you, Reinhard. Which made finishing fundraising for this evening all the more easy. That means as of last night and tonight, there's some bill paying to be done. Hoo-wee! So, yeah, let's take a little break. And
you jump into the Horn Malloy Skype chat group so that we can get Friday on the Front Porch rolling. Openings are available. Of course, you can also reach us on the Gizmo line, 304-663-4676. It is occupied at the moment. Well, let's just see what happens. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Oh, rock and roll is a scary business. No hit records, no MTV videos, you'll never make it here. Looked in my laptop, what did I see? A flashing message said, today therapy. Rather walk through fire than converse with my shrink. But I'm getting better, that's what some people think. Talk about denial and dysfunctional.
Thank you, Ben Birch, you miracle worker, you. Ain't technology grand? Sometimes it bites you in the ass, and sometimes it licks your hand like a sweet little puppy. Wonderful. This is Friday on the Front Porch for Halloween 2014, the 31st day of October, and we've got the beginnings of a dandy little group in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Good evening, Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
How are you? Rainy there, is it?
Oh, all day.
And you're thrilled, right?
Yeah, I'm thrilled with that. I'm thrilled because I can laugh at my neighbor. She just got her scaredy cat well put in yesterday.
Well, isn't that a way of isn't spending $10,000 drilling a well a way of invoking the gods to send rain? Especially the goddess of irony.
Yeah. But they got out of there. I mean, they didn't have any trouble at all. They got it done in 3/4 of a day, 140 feet deep.
Oh, that'll probably be nice water.
Mm-hmm. If they ever use it.
Wait, what do you mean, if they ever use it?
Well, it's a plugged well right now. Whether they put a pump in it, the one that they've got's running, that's why I call it a scaredy cat well.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Ever since, you know, you see everybody else in the neighborhood putting in a new well, and then people down the street did it, and their wells are capped. They're not even using them. They just put them in because everybody else was doing it.
But you didn't, because if somebody hit their head, if somebody hit their toe with a sledgehammer, you was raised right, and you wouldn't do that.
No.
If everybody else was jumping. Sparky, if everybody else was jumping off the Shasta Dam, would you jump off the Shasta Dam too?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, happy Halloween.
Yeah, hopefully we won't have any trick-or-treaters tonight.
We did all of ours last night, and then they did, I guess across the river, they did some this morning. I'm still not overseeing the little miner. That just kind of did my head in. I don't know why I would be surprised, but I kind of was. You know, precious little tykes dressed up as, you know, fairies and elves and, you know, the occasional werewolf and puppy dog and ninja turtle. And then, you know, there's the little massy worker.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to add some other people here.
Well, we do in the room at present, though, we do have Will. Am I correct?
Yes, loud and clear. Happy Halloween, Bob.
Happy Halloween, Will. And we have Sergi. Good evening, Sergi. Oh no, we don't have Sergi. That's Carol. Carol, what are you doing with Sergi's icon?
Oh no, I'm sorry, sir. Carol won't be here this evening.
Oh my God. I thought I smelled corn dogs.
Welcome.
Congresswoman Bachman, is that you?
Congresswoman Michelle Bachman. Yes, sir, it is. You'll have to forgive me. Carol can't come to the phone. She's tied up.
Oh, what have you done to her?
Yeah, don't worry. She assures me it ain't the first time she's chewed through the restraints.
So is Marcus out there doing a... is Marcus out there?
Hang on just a second. Hey, little foster boy, whatever your name is, you put that leash and collar back in Daddy's nightstand where you found it. What did I say about getting into the grown-up drawer? I'm sorry. It was one of my precious 23 foster children asking me a question about Jesus.
Yes. Why does Jesus wear chaps? Was that the question, Michelle?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I meant to mute that. You heard that?
So some of these things get through. So is Marcus is Marcus performing an exorcism on Carol this evening?
Well, he's trying, but, you know, she's a stubborn one.
Tell him he can put the disco ball away.
Well, we don't know what you're talking about there. We only play Christian music in this house.
At 138 beats per minute. So how were the corn dogs at the fair this year? How were the corn dogs at the fair this year, Michelle?
Well, they were pretty good. The only problem I have is that I have a hard time eating them in public because, the only comfortable way for me is with a hand on the back of my head.
Yes, of course. Your ears get a little sore, too, don't they?
Well, you know, Anything for Jesus.
Oh, absolutely. So what are you going to be, you know, you're leaving the house and everything, Michelle. What are you going to be doing with your time now that you're no longer saving America from the Kenyan Muslim socialist usurper?
Oh, well, Marcus and I are going to be working real hard to get Ted Cruz elected president. And then we're going to be working on, you know, some of that restorative therapy for them gay people.
Because they do need some restoring. I mean, last I checked, all the time, there's gay folks all the time out there restoring. They're restoring old houses and restoring furniture and I mean, making their houses look all nice in the neighborhood. Is that what you've got in mind? Are you gonna go out there and refinish the furniture? I think that's what they're calling it these days.
No, their houses are pretty fabulous. That's true, but still, we're talking about making them straight people.
Oh,
because you know they choose to be gay.
Oh, right. Just like Pastor Brother Senator Ted Cruz was talking about how Tim Cook chose to be all homosexual.
Well, that man, you don't have to sound snotty.
Well, I mean, Michelle, do you have an iPhone? Does that mean you're part of the gay agenda? Because you know Tim Cook's the head of Apple.
Oh, we smashed our iPhones just yesterday.
Threw
them right in Lake Michigan. We did.
Oh, so what are you using for a phone now? I mean, prayer.
Well, prayer lines are good, but we've gone back to the old rotary phones because, you know, we're doing our best to take this country back 50 years come Tuesday.
Only 50?
Well, you know, baby steps, Bab.
That's true. That's true. The backwards journey of 1,000 years begins with one step, right?
That's absolutely right. And if I have my way about it, we'll take it back to the year one.
Well, that ought to be fine. But Michelle, the year one was the world was pagan back then.
Well, you know, but this way there'll be, you know, good Christians helping to guide the world toward, you know, a godly America, because, you know, we want all of these laws based on good Christian principles.
You mean those Judeo-Christian principles upon which our founders founded our nation?
Well, as long as you're talking about, you know, good Jesus stuff, yeah.
But Jesus has to be white, doesn't he?
Of course he is.
Okay, just checking. I mean, he wasn't a Palestinian or anything, was he?
Oh, now that's just crazy talk, Mr. Kincaid.
That's what I was afraid of. Well, I think, Michelle, pardon me for a moment. I think we've also, and I know this might be shocking to you, we've also got an international contingent to the conversation this evening. Will that be a problem for you?
Oh, as long as they don't cross the border, I'm okay.
Okay. So Horst is with us. Horst, don't start swimming just yet.
Okay, just say the word.
How are you this evening?
Doing all right. Just trying to get all the gears in motion for the morning.
And because I'm so damn dumb. What time is it there?
I'm kind of dumb too because I don't. Just after 7:20.
Oh, okay. So that's not totally crazy.
No. For Saturday, it's a little earlier than I would normally need to get up, but, yeah, it's okay. It's doable.
Yeah, I was up at 5 this morning because I had to run down for a doctor's appointment in Charleston. So, I'm a little kind of myself.
That sets the mood for Halloween, though. It's already come and gone here. Nothing happened, so. A little sleeplessness.
I'm sure there is some concomitant Asian dress-up holiday at some other time of the year, though?
There should be something. The thing is, I don't know, like, you don't see anything concentrated around, like, one holiday other than, like, maybe the New Year. But there, you know, stuff is happening all the time. And I have fireworks outside my window like every other day. I mean, that's barely even an exaggeration. So, but costumes and stuff, I haven't really noticed a whole lot of that.
Maybe, what, so maybe common sense kind of rules over there?
Oh, no, none of that either. Just no costumes.
Mm.
It's a good place to get hit with fireworks.
Bottle rocket wars in the streets.
Well, more like, you know, the noisy stuff. But yeah. Oh, yeah, they do have bottle rocket wars, but it's much more elaborate than that. They shoot the big ones at each other. There's an annual festival that takes place every year where, you know, people go through, like, you know, they rig up, like, you know, cardboard and duct tape suits for themselves and go out, and someone still always ends up, you know, hospitalized or killed. But, you know, it's...
Well, I was going to say, if one of the charges from a Roman candle kind of lodges in a cardboard suit, I mean, isn't that sort of, like, kind of, what,
flammable?
Yeah,
I would say so. But yeah, they do it. But not Roman candles. I mean, we're talking about, like, the you know, the really big, you know.
Oh, the Grucci Brothers stuff.
Well, I don't know about that, but no, yeah, I think they do it for the Lantern Festival. I can't remember exactly what it is. It's kind of like, you know, running the bulls, but it's different.
Only no bulls.
Right, no bulls, just dumbasses and ordnance. It's probably pretty interesting to watch, though. I'd like to go out and check it out one of these years. I mean, from the sidelines, but, you know.
And,
anyway, that's my contribution. I can't think of much.
So what's for breakfast?
What's the what?
What's for breakfast?
Oh, coffee with butter in it.
You can't just say that and walk away. What?
Oh, you haven't heard of this? It's a thing now. I've been doing it for a couple of years. You take a big pot of coffee and you blend up a big wad of butter in it. It's pretty good. And it keeps you full and pretty sharp for 3 or 4 hours.
Well, I guess that's good. That could be a stand-in for the cream, the half and half, right?
Kind of like that, yeah. It's one way to go about a so-called ketogenic diet, you know, which is more like based on saturated fats and stuff. I looked it all up a couple of years ago and forgot all the details, so I can't speak intelligently about it anymore. But it works.
Well,
and it's actually a pretty good way to have a cup of coffee too, if you have some decent stuff.
I just have this vision of my physician just throwing me out of the office, you know, given the fact that I have, yeah, I'm you know, being of the extraction I am, I'm nothing but a lipids factory. And just, you're doing what? You're putting what in your car? Oh, just get out.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, actually, if you look into it, it might actually work out better for you on balance. I mean, like, dietary intake of lipids and cholesterol has apparently, like, not very much to do with what you produce inside your own, you know, liver, whatever it comes from. I don't even know. I used to know this, too.
Yeah, like, I don't know enough about it because, you know, I had another one of those moments this morning with the doctor where she looked at me and went, how can this be? Human beings aren't supposed to have numbers like this.
Right.
And I do. And, you know, I mean, when my triglycerides are good, you know, really, really good, my triglycerides are 400.
Well, here's another thing. Have you been losing weight lately? Because that'll cause all your cholesterol composite numbers to shoot way up.
I think I've been pretty steady. I mean, you know, I'm holding my own at about 230, 235.
Okay. Yeah, I went and had myself a cholesterol test a couple of years ago, like, well, just right after I lost, like, about 20 or 25 pounds. I'd never heard that before. So, you know, they all thought I was dying. And, I started doing some research. But...
it makes me crazy because, you know, I'm taking a statin, I'm taking my fish oil... I'm taking an actual anti-triglyceride medicine.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yeah. And it's driving me nuts. Now, I mean, once upon a time, and people who go far enough back in the archives will find out, you know, I had a problem. I had a real problem. I was known for, you know, drinking Cheese Whiz straight out of the jar.
I was powerless over Cheese Whiz, and my life had become unmanageable. But I'm not doing that anymore. I don't know. You know, I'm not having gravy with a side of gravy, or you know, dipping my fried wings in extra grease, or you know, I don't have a, you know, when I go to the deli, I don't have a little bowl of schmaltz with my chopped liver. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I was just checking in with Malloy for the first time in a little while the other day, and apparently it's gone vegan central over there too now. That's a bit much for me, but yeah, you can cut back on the little things, you know. No mainlining of the cheese products.
Yeah, I mean, I sold my Cheese Whiz bag stand and my infuser, everything. Tried to get really serious about it, but.
The sacrifices we make.
I know. Good evening, Devin. Okay. Let's see.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good evening.
Good evening. How's things in Bobland?
Apparently lipidlicious.
Oh, so you can float on top of water?
Apparently so. I just don't break into little individual globules yet. Yeesh. let's see. Sorry,
I have my mic muted.
That's okay. Good evening, Sergi.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I think I don't. Well, let me see. How can I word this really? This evening, I have one main goal on my mind, and that is getting out of Texas, stand for good.
Working on it.
I have been working on a crowdfunding campaign for GoFundMe. Basically, you know, so that I can escape from Texas. And
okay, but it's one thing to have a goal of escape. There's got to be an escape to. There's got to be a goal of where you're escaping to. Any ideas?
That's actually what I was getting to.
Well, see, that's why I'm a professional interviewer.
I hope you don't mind me, you know, mentioning this on the show.
No, go ahead.
Most people who have listened to this show for a while know about me. I'm, you know, a 22-year-old guy stuck in Fort Worth, Texas for now. And basically, you know, this state's been hell on me. I can't spread my wings until I get to civilization. And so if anyone out there lives in civilization, by civilization I define that as a progressive city with decent transit and decent opportunity for me to finally, you know, be myself and, you know, be my full, you know, get to my full potential. Anyone out there who has room and is willing to, you know, put up somebody who can make himself useful, you know, I suppose you can email Bob. Would you mind forwarding any
no,
emails?
No,
you
yeah,
can?
Yeah. If you would like to be the host family as Sergi attempts to escape from Texas, Stan, shoot me an email, bobkincaid@gmail.com, and I will forward it on to him.
And yeah, like I said, I can definitely make myself useful, and it's better.
Now you're not offering yourself up for adoption or anything, are you?
Well, no, I'm too old for all that. I'm 22.
Nah, you're never too old.
But yeah, I mean, basically, I just, you know, freaking gotta get. I mean, I just want to get out of here. I mean, this place is hell. You know, I mean, I've up to and including full on, well, rape I've been through down here. It's been hell. And so, you know, I just...
So, I mean, you know, I mean, I just, even like, even the little blue haven that is Austin,
That won't do. You've got to get all the way out of Texas.
Let me tell you about Austin. Austin is not progressive. Okay. Have you ever heard that saying, a Texas liberal is a Massachusetts conservative?
No, I haven't, but it actually, it sounds like the equation balances.
Yes, Austin is not progressive. See, Austin is progressive by Texas standards, but that's not saying much. That's like saying, you know, Toronto is warmer than the Yukon in the winter. It doesn't mean much.
Well, and you know, I've remarked on that in the past as well, Sergi. There is a difference between southern progressives and northern progressives, or, you know, like Pacific Coast progressives. You know, people from, say, California, Washington, or Oregon would be viewed by, I don't know, progressives in Georgia or Alabama as something right next door to Leon Trotsky. And granted, I'm painting with a broad brush, but I think there's more than a soupçon of truth in that.
Yeah, I mean, Austin is not progressive by real progressive standards at all. There's no real such thing as a progressive in Texas, Stan. And so, like, yeah, I mean, basically, as far as figuring out a place to go, it's just like wherever someone can, you know, put up with me.
Well, how about, okay, yeah. So I was talking the other night about that feature I saw on CNN about the economic boom in Williston, North Dakota. I take it you've already written Williston off.
Oh, Lord, don't even get me started on for North Dakota. That'd be like jumping into the frying or jumping into the fire from the frying pan. Now, I'm talking like, you know, L.A., San Francisco, New York City, Boston, Chicago, just some actual civilization.
Okay, that was my next question. Are there any geographic limitations or weather-related limitations?
No. I'll put up with, you know.
So you would happily freeze your ass off in Madison, Wisconsin?
Yes, I would.
Or Chicago, Illinois.
Or Chicago, or New York, or Boston, or, you know, wherever.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, and if I get any offers and, you know, there's something that really stands out, that's where I'll make my goal, and then I can finally formally launch it. You know, I mean, obviously I don't want to interfere with the Horns fundraising, but, you know, it's just, you know, I can't be my full potential down here, and I hope you didn't mind me bringing that up on the show.
Oh, no, not at all. I just got a note in saying, apparently Carol snuck a cell phone into the Bachman closet, and she said, I can't offer Sergi much solace in Hooterville. She said, I'm texting from the closet. And you know, my response was, yeah, it's kind of like me inviting Sergi to the progressive domain that is Shake and Cade. No. You would run back to Fort Worth from a place like West Virginia or Hooterville. I promise you would.
No offense, Bob, but like, would someone like me be able to even walk around Beckley at night? I mean,
oh sure, no. There's it's. Yeah, you could walk around Beckley at night, but that's about all you'd do, because there ain't just a hell of a lot of mass transit down there. You do a lot of walking.
That's another thing. I mean, I look at, like, I mean, last night Lottie showed, you know, the group, you know, we formed a little mini group last night, and Lottie showed us this picture he took of Boston's skyline, and my jaw just hit the floor when I saw it, because that is a real city. It's like, Christmas special.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that kind of struck me when I flew into DFW that one time is that you just start looking out the plane window and you just see sprawl. It's like, goddamn, where's the city?
There is none. You know, for instance, like Fort Worth here. Fort Worth is like, oh, you know, Fort Worthians will take so much offense when people call this whole area Dallas. But Dallas is the only city in this area that has even a modicum of an urban core.
Well, it's sort of borked. Dallas kind of borked the whole region, didn't it? I mean, it just sort of absorbed it.
Yeah, I mean, like Fort Worth is a 15-by-15 dinky little downtown surrounded by suburbs. That's pretty much what it is. It's just a big mishmash of suburbs.
Simply because I'm a sports nerd. At least when Mountaineer football season is in. Texas Christian is in Fort Worth?
Yes, it is. It's not too far from where I live, actually.
And, I mean, is it just sort of... I mean, the school's been there for a while, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's been there since, like, the 1800s.
I mean, I remember that, like, Baylor had a, you know, very well-defined campus, and it definitely looked like a college campus. Is it the same with TCU?
Define well-defined.
Well, I mean, it's obvious you're on a college campus, trees, columns, you know.
Well, yeah, when you're on the immediate campus, it is a college campus. But, you know, don't let it fool you into thinking that, you know, any kind of urban environment has popped up around that campus, because it ain't. I mean, you know, even though it's a college campus, you'll notice that there's not that many students that actually ride bicycles. It's because it's too dangerous around all that sprawl. You know, people going 90 miles an hour on arterial roads between, you know.
So the students kind of serpentine from one corner to the other.
Well, I mean, the campus, I mean, if you're on the campus just minding your own beeswax on the campus, yeah, I mean, it's a campus. But once you get, you know, off and you look at how people fly down Berry Street, it's crazy. Although, you know, what's really funny is that Fort Worth, the city of Fort Worth, has attempted, it's like, oh, we're building up an urban village around there. And they even put in a bike sharing station. And it's like,
Well, they're trying, yeah, Sergi. No. Cut them a break, buddy. They're trying.
Here's the thing, they got to do a lot more than that. That's like, you know, peeing on a high-rise fire. It's like, if Fort Worth is going to look like anything resembling a city, that would involve complete overhaul of the whole thing. You know,
Marty just sent a note in and said, until Sergi said opportunity, I was going to suggest San Francisco.
Is that a joke?
Yeah.
Like some kind of reference?
Well, yeah, it's just there's, you know. I don't know. I take it it's maybe a little hard to find sustaining, meaningful existence in the Bay Area. Maybe not so much over. I don't know. You know, because you got, I don't know. There's Berkeley and Oakland and San Francisco.
As far as what I want to do, I am. I'm pretty much a computer guy. I mean, I build computers, I repair computers, I work with computers, you know, stuff like that, you know. I even bicycle mechanics and moped mechanic, and I mean, I have a lot of different little talents I have. I actually used to host a little radio show when I was in high school, and during my little aborted attempt at college, I hosted radio shows, and I wouldn't mind getting back into broadcasting. I actually played video game music. It was like a niche show.
Yeah.
And there ain't that many shows out there on the radio that play video game soundtracks, and it's a whole genre. I was introducing people to a whole new genre of music that doesn't get much exposure if you don't actively play video games, but it's really awesome music. I might actually send you some if you don't mind.
No, that'd be fine.
So, I mean, but in order for me to really put any of these talents to use, there has to be opportunity and...
Well, I mean, you're a young guy. You're a young guy. Any thoughts of trying to figure out maybe getting into college or something?
Well, I actually did go for 2 years, but that ended disastrously. I'm not going to go into details because it's really, really depressing, but let's just say that I had major crimes committed against me of the sexual variety, and I was intimidated and pressured into not reporting that to the Dallas County Sheriff's Office. So I came running back to Fort Worth and didn't look back.
Okay, understood. So anybody who wants to be host family to Sergi, shoot me a note, bobkincaid@gmail.com, as Sergi contemplates. This sounds like a science fiction movie, Escape from Fort Worth, you know. Are you going to get an eye patch or anything, or, you know, learn some Kurt Russell lines, or?
Well, it's not just Fort Worth, Texas as a whole, because I mean the university was in Dallas, but the thing about it is that, and this is actually why I don't hold the brightest view of fraternities, because it was actually the politics of the university, and it turned out to be fraternity members that did that to me, and so yeah.
I get it.
It was a whole mess. And so the problem is that I had loans, and since I stopped going, okay, the loans immediately started saying, oh, you have to pay this back now, and da 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 da. So if I'm ever to return to college, I'd have to find a way to push the reset button on that, and I don't think that's really plausible while there are pig lickings or, you know, strangling that kind of stuff in the government, you know. It's not like Denmark, where I guess I could go back for free.
Yeah, all you gotta do is learn Danish or German or Polish.
Poland has that going on.
Oh, well, that's what Alan the Trucker said. He's in Poland right now, and he said apparently college education is free or near free over here.
Wow, this is amazing how much further Europe is than the U.S. Even you know, the progressive states like Massachusetts, Europe still blows them out the water.
There's a different operative philosophy there. European nations believe that their people are their greatest resource, and here in the United States, the right wing and the Repiglicans believe that people are a resource to be exploited. A little bit of a difference.
That's a big difference, and
I just realized something. I've been sitting here like an idiot. We've got, Bill, are you there?
Of course I am.
Hot diggity, I wanted to make sure we got you into the group. I'm so sorry.
Well, I'm interested in the computer, the World Talk, because I've had friends who it's not as good as it looks out there in that field, you know?
Yes, yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, I was talking to a computer repair buddy of mine earlier today, and he said, who would have believed 2 years ago that I'd be out, you know, that I'd be obsolete? He said, and somebody who does repair work, the move to tablets really, really is changing the landscape.
Well, I'm sitting on a tube checker that cost me $500 long years ago, you know, and an automobile repair. I mean, my home looked like a model garage with a 5-horse power motor and a 30-gallon tank air compressor and every tool that went with it, but forget it today, you know.
Work is, I'm
beyond the stage of worrying about it, but it's not really good. I'll give you one story of Halloween and me. I was driving to a party in 71. Folk singer around here, Irish style folk singer, has big parties. So I crossed the intersection 2.5 minutes away from where I'm sitting now. And I sat there at the light, and I crossed the light on my way, and I heard this tremendous explosion. Well, Mr. Danny Green, you know the Irishman?
Yeah.
As in to kill an Irishman? Him and his buddy had just accidentally set a bomb off. It must have been accidental, because Green, the other guy, was killed in the blast. I said, what the hell was that noise? And the next day, I found out what it was. Pretty funny for that being in Southeast Asia, you know, or Northern Ireland, or how many other places. But anyway, sir, trying to sell what you know how to do is a son of a gun sometimes, because it just keeps changing so fast that the self-employed worker is... Well, there's one, the guy I'm talking to now, he's a self-employed worker. I'll have to go to the line, go, but yeah, but that story about the bomb, that's one that's traceless. And it shows up, of course, in that, I read the book long before the movie came out, because Green ran a dock workers for a while, and a buddy of mine was a longshoreman. The guy who took over the longshoreman had a first name of Percy. How does that sound for a longshoreman's first name?
I'm guessing he had to fight his way to work.
Honest to God, growing up with that name must have been people are funny that way. But continue on, Bob. I just want to, I'm glad you finally realized. I think you're forgetting about this phone line because it's so it's brand new again, you know.
Well, yeah, and you called in so early that I apologize. That's all I can do. I mean, you know.
Well, you mentioned it, and as soon as you mentioned it, I said, "Well, he's winding up, so dial it." You know, it's a shame you can't have more than one line going on. But hell, it's you know marvelous just to have a one to be part of this mess on Friday night. It's a hell of a nice bunch of people.
Well, it is indeed. Thank you, Bill. Well, let's check in with some of those other nice people. Let's see. Waggy is in a far corner of the planet. Good evening, Waggy.
Hello.
There he is. I guess we know a little bit now about internet latency.
No, that was just me hitting the wrong button to try to unmute.
Oh, okay. So, how long did the trip take this time?
Oh, I made a good connection, so it was only 25 hours, plus 2 hours waiting to get a visa at the airport.
Wow. But you're all settled in and happy?
Settled in, even rented an apartment for a few months.
Nice. Yeah. Gonna work on some language skills while you're there?
Indeed, I'll be learning Malagasy and teaching English, not only to my betrothed, but also to the landlady's children.
Wow. By the way, I don't know who has their maybe it's me, I don't think it is, but their little blippy notifications on Skype. It'd be great if you'd turn those off. Roger's with us this evening from Northern California. Good evening, Roger.
Good evening.
How in the world are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm just glad that Duncan's got the rain and not me.
You don't need it.
No, I don't. I was out working in the garden listening and then realized the Skype group came on a little earlier than I thought it would, so now I'm sitting in the house.
I went to it at the top of the second hour just because, you know, it's Halloween and I thought folks might want to get involved and crank things up. We're a little worried about Carol this evening. She's trapped in Michelle Bachman's closet. Apparently Marcus isn't using it this evening. Sorry, Michelle. But
y'all think you're so funny. Go ahead, make fun of the Christians.
You guys are persecuted, right?
We are. Yes, we are, but trust me, when we take over the government, it's all going to be a whole new day, and then who's going to be laughing?
I got to ask you, what do you think about that Christian in Oklahoma who beheaded the warlock boy?
You know, if it wasn't for Obamacare, that boy could have gotten some mental health care.
You mean the warlock, not the crazy Christian, right?
Crazy Christian. There's no such thing as a crazy Christian.
No, of course not. No.
They were crazy before they found Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
I was cleaning up out in the man cave.
Yeah.
And I found a genuine Mexican head lopper.
No. A machete?
It's kind of homemade.
Well, those are the best kind.
I'm cleaning it up. I'm going to get it sharp. I'll share a picture of it one night on the group.
Well, I ran across a story a little bit earlier, and I just had to throw it out to the group for your consideration. Are you aware? In fact, I think Horst is. Are you aware that the Washington Football Club is actually suing some Native Americans?
No.
Yeah, it's a real story, according to TPM. The Washington Football Club have filed a lawsuit after a group of indigenous people challenged the Washington Football Club's racist nickname. And so the Washington Football Club has sued. You know, how dare you avail yourself of the courts and the rights and laws of this nation? You know, we're a multi-billion-dollar organization. Didn't you know that? It just blows my mind.
Well, it should, because aren't those people illegal immigrants or something?
Yeah, right. And tell me, is Bachman, is that an old Ojibwe word, or is it Lakota or Cherokee?
Bachman. Well, that's like Eastern European, which is, you know, where all the good Americans came from.
Right. Yeah. That's what I thought.
You can mock me. Go ahead. I got the armor of Jesus.
Oh, are your loins? Oh, Michelle, are your loins girded?
Let's not be talking about my lady loins.
I was just being scriptural.
No.
I mean, you know, straight out of the King James Version.
They don't say lady loins in the King James Bible.
Gird up your loins. It says it right there. There's all kinds of loins all through the Bible. I done read it.
Yes, but you need to start reading the right Bible, the Republic.
Oh, the one with all that loving Jesus taken out of it.
Oh, don't be silly. There's none of that in there.
No, I know. No, he's mean and angry.
As well as you should be.
Corn dog.
Now, what was that, Devin?
I said, put down the corn dog.
And step away. Yes.
Hey, nobody's got the back of my head, boys.
the sentient primate, Steve, is with us this evening. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Oh, not a little tired after work.
But you'll survive?
Yeah, I'll survive.
So, do y'all, wait, I know this is a dumb question. Do y'all do Halloween up there?
Yeah, there's a lot of parents out with their little kids even. It's raining and it's yucky out. That's not unusual for Halloween. But a lot of the parents are out. My son's out with my grandson. You know, they're having fun.
Well, it's 56 degrees here inside the studio, but I've got the foot warming pad all plugged up, so my feet think it's summer.
So it's cool down there too.
Oh yeah, it's south of here. It's going to get downright ugly this evening.
First time you had to use it this year, Bob?
Oh, no. It's I think this may be the third time I've turned it on, Sparky. I was just checking my little who's this thing here. Yeah, we're all rain, but down, I guess, like Tazewell, Virginia, and Mingo County, West Virginia, and some of the, oddly enough, above 2,500-foot parts of Virginia and East Tennessee and Western North Carolina could get several inches of snow tonight.
Ew.
Yeah.
They're calling for wet snow here tomorrow.
The weather's been pretty topsy-turvy as far as just in general. I mean, it's going to get down to 30-something tonight here, And Lottie was telling me that, you know, Boston's been unusually warm, you know, warmer than Fort Worth here, you know, so far.
Let's see. Yeah, it, like I said, it's 56 degrees inside here. It is 43 and raining outside. I'm trying to hold off firing up the propane heater as long as possible.
Yeah, well, how do you heat the house? Propane?
Combination of propane and electric in the rest of the house, but there's no ventilation. I mean, no ductwork or anything. But this is an old enclosed back porch. It used to be a screened-in back porch. Now it's fully enclosed.
Okay.
And so it gets extremely hot in summer and extremely cold in winter.
Yeah, it's real climate controlled. Yes, but. Whatever the outdoor climate is, controls the inside, yeah.
Exactly. All I have to do, I guess there are some insulative properties of plywood flooring and blocks and things like that, but not a hell of a lot.
Oh, you know, some of those...
Yeah, when I was working on a car, I had two big propane things sitting on cans. So I can warm my damn hands up. One time doing a, replacing an oil pump on a car, it was in the garage, and it was like 20, 25 degrees in that garage and way lower outside. I look back and say, how the hell did I ever do that stuff? And surprising what you can do when you're young, you know, when you're young, cheap, and stupid.
Well, necessity is a mother.
Heck, we just put the man cave back in operation. We had the Dodge pickup in there. Stepson had to drop the drive line out of there to replace the front seal. The north door's open and water was coming in on the floor. I got the shop back out. It was vacuuming the water up as it was every so often.
How old is it?
How old is your pickup? This, oh, it's at 2000.
Oh.
But he was rolling around on a creeper underneath there.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of neat tools.
Yeah, that was it in my house, the same thing. I learned from my uncle. Every tool I had were in a toolbox. You know, I had a big double roll around. And, of course, I had to sell all the stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Comes a time my uncle gave me half the stuff I had when he got too old to work it.
Well, I inherited all this stuff from my dad, Bill. The shop, the house, and everything. There's a lift rail system he's installed, and my son brought down a chain hoist for it. He lifted the metal layout table in the shop because it used to be a full welding shop. He lifted that up with a chain horse and scooted it over. It's got a half-inch steel plate on it. It's about 8 foot long and 4 foot wide.
Oh, boy. Yep. Those are the things we used to... You know, I don't know how the kids... I guess maybe that's why the kids are so big in the computers is the... doing all that power work is really a thing of the past.
Well, my stepson was a heavy equipment mechanic in the Army right around the time, just before, 86 to 90. He was loading a plane at Travis Air Force Base to go to Panama, and they turned him around from Fort Ord. Then he got out of the service the next month.
Yeah, old man Ord, he was a... Wasn't he the guy who ran the Transcontinental Railroad building? Did he get that job as being in charge of that? Coming from the east.
I don't know why. I don't know the history of the base for Fort Ord.
Yeah, well, Ord was a Union general. He ended up being a corps commander in the Army of the Potomac at the end of the war. Yeah, it was his job at that point. Those guys all got shifted around. Schofield was the First, Grant was commander of the Army, then Sherman, then Sheridan, and then I believe Schofield. Of course, you know the barracks are named after him in Honolulu. And Pearl, you know.
Yeah, I flew through Hickam. I actually saw the bullet holes in the hangar. They're still there.
Jesus. Did you ever make it to the Philippines at all?
Just passing through.
Okay, Manila, I'd love to see the remains of course, they blew Corregidor. They blew up that tunnel down there because the Japanese wouldn't come out of it any other way. And then they had a fort drum that was a concrete built on it. They raised a island to the ground and built this thing that held two 15-inch guns, I think. They called it the concrete battleship. And to get the Japanese out of that, wonderful, how immediately where we pumped that pole of napalm and started on fire. That does get guys to surrender, you know, in some way or shape or form. That was a horrible mess. Your dad fought in it, no doubt.
In Alaska. My dad's
Alaska?
My dad was in the ship repair facility at Adak, Alaska.
Oh, my. Yeah, there was some fighting up there in those
have
islands.
You ever read about Attu?
Yep.
And they stayed
with
everybody.
Was that the one that Japanese vacated?
No, that's where they had the battle.
Okay. Because I know there was one where they had.
I actually had orders to Attu and traded him with somebody else, and I got Guam, and he took Attu.
You won, Roger.
Well, you're never
Guam, I know I did.
Yep. Yeah, but up there, they actually captured a zero fire intact up in those islands. And, of course, in no time at all, we had built something superior to the zero. And a lot more of them on top of it. And the Sherman tank was the one that I liked. It ran on a more or less gasoline engine, a 12-cylinder, was an aircraft engine that was pushing the Sherman through those years. And the American soldiers had a nasty name for it called a Ronson, they called it. And the Britons called it a Tommy Cooker. It's funny how these guys develop a sick sense of humor because that's the only thing that keeps you going when you can statically laugh about things and keep moving. I know we sent the Russians a lot of Shermans when they invaded Manchuria. They didn't even want them. That T-34 was better units. So, and another story is I knew two guys that fought in a unit that was where their company commander was the guy that was the second, he took over in Vietnam after the first guy failed. And he was a tanker. And the A2's Creighton Abrams, that's who he was.
Hey, Bill.
Stuff all comes from somewhere, you know. Unfortunately, they can't put it in a box and leave it there, you know.
Hey, Bill, is that noise, Bob? That phone
no, that's somebody trying to ring in on the gizmo line.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But
well, Sid, I could clear the line, maybe give somebody else a chance to talk a little bit. Because any chance you're going to get more than one line working on that, Bob?
I don't know. If somebody wants to send in another $1,000, we'll get another gizmo.
$1,000?
Yeah.
Jesus, I couldn't make $1,000.
Well, okay. To be fair, it's closer to 800, but yeah.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Well, I'll clear the line for somebody else and let them get through and talk to you next week.
All right, Bill, you have yourself a good evening and happy Halloween, I guess.
Yeah, it's, I used to do well at Halloween. One time I went to, my second wife fixed me up with a outfit where I had a weight club on one hand, you know, and the whole imitation, you know, of what's his face there, the great singer that he was. Anyway, you take care.
All right, have a good evening, Bill. Bye, Mike.
Take it easy, Bill.
Yeah, I got Sparky. That's something that was on the list that fell off this week. I just stayed so dang tied up. I got to figure out some way to turn off call waiting on the Gizmo line.
Okay, it was just kind of annoying why Bill was talking when I could hear it.
Yeah, well, it is, and well, you know, if we were using the Comrex, it would just roll over to the next line.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, it, theoretically, I don't know. Maybe I could maybe you know, if we did get another Gizmo box, maybe we could. Then I could find out a way to see if those numbers could be made to hunt.
I'd like to look up Bill if I get a chance to get down to Cleveland. I almost have my passport renewed.
How much of a trip is that for you?
About 3.5 hours by car. I'd have to. Maybe I'll go down there when Waggy gets back.
I had a note. I had a note from Carol saying that she had chewed through the straps and vanquished Michelle Bachman. Carol? Is she gagged with a corn dog now?
Oh no, she's still roaming freely. But you know, warning: when you think it's a Jehovah's Witness, you never know.
Never. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, especially on Halloween. They might be out there saving souls from the papist conspiracy that is Halloween.
I wouldn't know. I was busy dancing naked around some Satanist campfire when they showed up.
Thank you for that visual, Carol.
Scared the hell out of the cat!
Oh, you mean, is Cat Stevens under the couch?
I came out of the shower. And he was sitting there, and I happened to have my iPad in my hand, and the look on his face was so precious, I took a picture and posted it.
Those are names.
Literally.
Well, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, your cat having seen you in your nakedness would have to be taken outside the city gates and stoned.
Well, he's
Cat Stevens might wish he was stoned about now.
Well, I don't know. He had a make it stop look on his face, so. That's okay. My feelings aren't hurt. I have a mirror.
Anything happen in the world today that I should know about?
We are desperately trying to avoid finding out, Larry.
Yeah, there's probably all kinds of things happening that we should not find out about.
Yeah, it's
there
like,
are
I don't
tons
understand.
Of things.
What's that?
There are tons of things. A Washington court just ruled that accused rapists don't have to bear the burden of proving consent. So they're going to turn a whole bunch of sex offenders loose.
Oh, Jesus. Washington State?
Yes.
Well, the news is just a bunch of public relations anyway, so why should I give a shit?
Anyway. It's true. They don't actually write news. They just issue press releases for political campaigns.
Now, did a judge really... I saw this on... I saw this on Ron's feed earlier. Did a judge really rule that Maine couldn't quarantine Casey Hickox?
Yep, they absolutely did. They said she's not sick. You can't prove it. It's a violation of her constitutional rights. Suck it, Jesus.
And Paul LePage.
Good.
I mean, that was really the only potential outcome unless the judge was just going to throw out 200-plus years of jurisprudence.
Pretty much. Pretty much. I was super happy about that.
Well, Bob, I gave you a shout-out on Peter Werby's show.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
So I gave you a shout-out, mostly Mike Malloy, and they noticed Mike Malloy's name first because they apparently were subbing for Mike, but I don't know if they ever asked you to, you know.
No, I'm not set up in any way that I could ever sub for anybody. Because I don't have ISDN and I don't have a satellite connection.
Yeah.
Good.
We have a bit of breaking news.
Yes?
Kentucky stan, Allison Lundergan Grimes, has filed a lawsuit against the Republican Party of Kentucky stan, because they sent out flyers aimed at suppressing turnout. Basically, the flyers have election violation notice in huge bold letters, and they warn the recipients that they may be at risk of, quote, acting on fraudulent information. And these flyers are sent out to minority and poor and other voters liable to vote Democratic.
Oh, the blahs?
Basically, this is a blatant attempt at discouraging these people from voting, because it warns them that, oh, you might be committing voter fraud when you vote.
Remember those billboards they had that were saying that basically if you voted, that there was a very good chance that you were going to go to jail? I mean, it listed what the fines and the prison time was for it.
It's basically this in, you know, mailer form, and she has filed suit. The reason I say it's breaking news is because I got called out of the room for a second, and MSNBC is on in the Dan TV, and it's breaking news on there right now that she's filed this lawsuit against them.
Frustrating, these stories emerge just about every election cycle, because this is one of the standard. I think it was in all the President's Men where the Republican concept of rat fuck was first introduced into the public consciousness, and this is one of the classics. Don't show up to vote, or we're going to arrest you.
Well, right, they're doing the same thing in Texas too. They said they're going to put Texas back under federal supervision, but their new voting ID thing is still going to go through this election. So it's going to affect us too late, no matter what happens.
Right, and that's the problem.
The election results come in, and then we deal with the problem. You know, after it's too late to do anything about it.
Right, and that's the problem here. The real remedy would be to remove Republican candidates from the ballot.
Yes.
And here's the other thing. Sergio, you said that she filed, it sounds like a civil proceeding. I mean, I would think, though, this sounds like, you know, criminal violations to me. I mean, what kind of a suit or legal motions is she going through on that?
Well, it's to basically Grimes' campaign wants an injunction against them to block them from, you know, distributing any more of these flyers, because they're wanting to distribute them en masse this weekend.
Oh, that'll show on.
Yeah.
Well, but see, the problem here is they've already mailed them, and so I would argue that the real reason she went to court is in order to publicize it even more, so that people will know that it isn't legal, that it isn't real, that it's just more voter suppression tactics, so that that will in turn motivate people to go to the polls.
Well, maybe that'll work. Hey, but I'd like to see some criminal racketeering charges come out of that.
Do you remember when they did this in New Hampshire on behalf of Dim Leader, and what that case took 8 years to resolve?
And someone ended up conveniently committing suicide or having a plane crash or something in the meantime,
that's a separate bit of skullduggery.
Yeah. Bob,
hey Bob, wait a minute, Larry, this is a one I heard on Facebook today. They're going to Google map your house and point out the people that didn't vote Republican.
How would they know?
Duncan, you got that kind of wrong. They're going to Google map the house and the people who didn't vote. There is no way they can tell whether you voted Republican or not.
Well, that's what I saw on Facebook, too.
Yeah, I saw the same post on Facebook.
But what I don't understand, and excuse me if I'm being dense, when I work the polls in California, and I haven't done it for a while because of my back issue, but when I worked in the polls, somebody would walk in, and I would either recognize them or not because they're students. And then I would look at, and what we do, and Roger and Duncan can vouch for me on this, we have two ways of cross-checking
somebody. We ask them to sign in by their address, and you know, and then we cross check them on a list. There are about three of them, and one goes on the outside of the polls so the poll checkers can look at it. We don't have to ask them for their ID. They just come and they vote, or they say, you know, or we issue them a provisional ballot if they're not on our list. That's what we do in California. Why can't they do that in other states? You know, I mean, you know what the process is, Roger, and you know what the process is.
Yeah, I did it for years, Larry. All I had to do was go up there and tell them my name. They'd find my name, and they'd say, at such and such address, and I said, yep, that's me. They turn the book around, and I sign my name, and then I get my ballot, and I go vote.
And they cross your name off of a list, then the list goes outside so that the poll, so that the people, the candidates,
yes,
or the party can check.
No, you voted.
Well,
yes.
See, but
that's all we do in California.
But Larry, that's the difference between living in a state where voting is a desirable thing versus living in a state where voting is a dangerous thing. See, in places like Texas or Alabama or Georgia, where they've disappeared how many tens of thousands of votes, or Pennsylvania, the voting is bad, especially if the people you don't want to vote want to vote.
But we don't stop people from, we don't do that here.
Larry, it's the difference between a progressive state and a regressive state. You have to basically imagine for a second. Imagine yourself in the shoes of a pig licking in Texas stand. Okay.
Yeah, states still have like the. Oh, sorry to interrupt there. I just wanted to point out, because this is too rich. You know, states are in control of like how they gather up and counter and conduct their elections. Unless it's Florida 2000, then that's a different story.
Okay.
But do continue. Sorry about that.
No, I think the point is well taken, Horst.
So, Sergio, you were saying
and some states are still under federal supervision.
We were talking about Mitch McConnell and those mailers. He's got another problem. 40 kilos of cocaine were found on his father-in-law's boat.
Wait, what?
Yes. Yes, this is on Addicting Info. James Chow, father of Mitch McConnell's wife Elaine, has a lot of questions to answer. After 40 kilos of cocaine, about $6.7 million worth, was found on the Ping Mei, a ship owned by the Foremost Group, a company James Chow founded and led to a tiny fortune. But was that fortune built on honest movement of a legitimate bulk good of trades, or has he been trading in something less than legal? Yes, they fly ships under the flag of Liberia because, of course, of the lax labor protections. But, 40 kilos of cocaine on his father-in-law's boat, which doesn't have anything to do with him, but it is nice to keep it in the family.
It doesn't have anything to do with McConnell, or perhaps, we don't know.
We don't know, but they'll tie anything to a Democrat. It didn't hurt my feelings to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, if anything, you know, Mr. Turtleface been sampling a little bit of the merchandise.
I don't know. He doesn't look active enough. I mean, he not only looks like a turtle, he moves like one, too. He doesn't strike me as being your average coke fiend.
Think I'm going to have a little coke with the lips.
And he blinks like a turtle, too.
Yeah, he does.
So, Sergi, if I'm a Republican in Texas, I'm going to want to suppress the vote because if I don't, then the Democrats will come out and...
Yes.
Well, if you don't suppress the vote, Lawrence... those people will vote. And there ain't no sense in going to all the time and trouble of gerrymandering the entire damn state to keep them from keep them voting in one place if you got to then let them vote. Don't you understand?
Yeah, I understand, but they're supposed to, but they're supposed, this is a country where people are supposed to be able to
country. Hey, we're talking about Texas and Georgia and Alabama and South Carolina. They don't want nothing to do with no union.
Oh boy. Okay.
South's gonna rise again.
You don't want the Ron Collards voting.
And Lindsey's gonna be president with the White Boys Club.
White men are going to do very well in Lindsey's White House. Yes, they are. They're going to be fainting couches all over the Oval Office. And you know what? Them white men may be fainting, and Lindsey will be on the ground before they get there.
Well, Lindsey is in Kansas, or anyway,
South Carolina. Stan, wash your mouth out.
Oh, Lindsey Graham.
Lindsey Graham cracker.
Yeah, that we, okay. Okay. He really is bland, you know that?
Them men and them men on the clubs are going to do real good in the Graham White House. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Oh, fiddle dee dee.
Is his real name Jefferson Davis Beauregard?
No, that's Senator Sessions.
Well, I got to tell you, most of the mail that I'm getting from the Democratic Party deals with national races, not with statewide or local. They don't care about statewide and local, and those are the offices that people have the most. They interact with their local and statewide politicians a lot more than they do with the national politicians, but yet the party focuses on the national races. And they want money for the national races. They don't care about statewide, and they don't care about the local.
I do love this line from John Stewart recently. Texas is deep red. And this will resonate with you, Sergi. Texas is deep red, but Louie Gohmert's trying to turn it dipshit.
Oh, God. Gohmert and Cruz.
And just understand, Louie Gohmert doesn't even have to really campaign that much there in the first district of Texas.
Luis Gohmert?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Louie Gohmert.
Louis Gohmert. Yeah, because it gets the French pronunciation. Yeah.
By the way, I just checked out that cocaine story. They found it back in August.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, they'll be wanting to hang on to that story until after the election because they don't want to do anything to actually, compromise McConnell's chances at victory.
Right. Well, I mean, that's... Isn't that the New York Times axiom? If we find out something really nasty, we don't want to break it till after the election because somebody will accuse us of being the liberal media and cracking out an October surprise.
Yeah.
What? Okay, I mean, why are we... It took from August till now to find this out?
What was the same thing with the Supreme Court in 2000 again? We don't want to do anything to compromise George Bush's chances of winning the election, so let's just forget about voting, counting those votes and stuff. Criminal activity, wrongdoing, whatever. I mean, it's the same thing. Gotta, we'll deal with that after the election.
Or to quote Lindsey Graham, I'll worry about it tomorrow.
So, Sergi, how is Wendy doing? Hello, Sergi? Oh, Sergi. Hello.
Well, I just did a quick skim of that article. And it appears that the Ping Mei, which is the name of the ship, is licensed in the Marshall Islands, flies a Liberian flag, and one of the reasons it's flagged in the Marshalls is that they don't keep records, don't charge taxes, and don't share information even with the United States government. And it's a coal-hauling ship that hauls
No, really?
Coal, yes, hauls coal mostly from Australia into Asia. Or they were probably hauling coal into Colombia.
Well, at least the front didn't fall off.
Well, yeah. But it's pretty rusty, ugly-looking boat right now. Andy, I want to do a little quick change of subject here.
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to pop a into the chat room. Not the chat room, but the Skype chat. Come on, go. My Scarlet Runner bean seeds just got listed in the Baker Creek seed catalog as Barnside Sweet, and they have a nice little write-up on all that, and I'm kind of proud of myself that I finally have some seeds that I've generated over the last 30 years, and they've been accepted into a national chain, and I'm just crowing on it. You've seen pictures of it before, Bob, because you see what I post in my Facebook page. But anyhow, I'm just sharing some good news instead of all this bad stuff.
Well, hot damn.
Hey, nice. Yeah, I used to buy seeds from Baker Creek when I had time to garden. Awesome.
So does that make you kind of like a Johnny Appleseed or something?
No, I've just been for 30 years developing these seeds for height and aphid resistance. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him about 3 years ago, and the first year I sent them 25 pounds, the next year it was 75, this year it was 100, and they might want more. And it finally got into their catalog, well, at least their online catalog, and I don't know if we'll make it in a print catalog or not, but their website's kind of screwed up right now. It's kind of hard to
get into. Well, at least it make you sound important.
Well, yeah, they even mentioned my name in the write-up.
Roger L. Smith of Norton Creek Farm.
And yeah, the blossoms are just beautiful.
Yeah.
And they attract hummingbirds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is so cool. Congratulations, Roger.
Well, thank you. Now, go buy a whole bunch so I can make some more money so I can ship it to the Horn.
Amen to that. Well, so if you you've roused my curiosity now. If you send them 100 pounds of seeds, are they like selling packets?
Yeah, I believe it's 15 seeds for $3.50.
That could add up into some Jed Clampett walking around money, couldn't it?
Well, but I only get $8 a pound.
Oh, okay.
Yes, out of stock because they just arrived. Well, I've got to check the tracking thing. But they should have arrived yesterday or the day before. And then they got to put them in packets and, you know, all the rest of that stuff.
So I take it from the description they're primarily green beans?
Yeah, they're a green bean. We French slice them and freeze them, and you can snap them. You can do anything you want. You know, they're just a green bean.
How are they? What's the string factor on them?
When they're really old and mature, there's a pretty good-sized string. When they're nice and young, which is the way I like to eat them, there's hardly any string at all.
Wow. So are they good cooking beans if you let them grow to maturity? Like for a pot
of beans? My sister likes them as a dried bean. I don't particularly care for them, but then I don't care for beans.
What color is it when it's mature?
Oh.
Man, I'm a bean fiend. I'm being nerdy here.
Okay, it's a black. It's a black with scarlet stuff on it. If you go to the regular beans page, which I'm trying to get to now, doesn't want to back up. Let's see. Go to beans. Here we go. I think there's a picture of the Scarlet Runner bean, and they're a black with scarlet blotchy kind of thing. Those beans don't have a Scarlet Runner bean seed on it. Well, the if you go to store vegetables beans and you go to Runner Beans, I need to get me a faster computer.
And so they talk about planting them, you know, and letting them crawl up the barn wall and stuff. When you grow them, do you frame them, or because they're runners?
They grow They grow up the side of the barn.
Oh, that's how you do it?
Yeah. The top pole's 22 feet off the ground, and they grow up that and then lay out on the barn roof.
Oh, wow.
I'll post some pictures on the on my Facebook page in the next couple hours that'll answer all your questions.
Are these the Barnside Sweet Runner beans?
Yes.
Okay. They are pretty. Okay.
So, Bob, did you? I sent you a Facebook message about Mickey Huff.
Yes, I got that.
I censored. I hope you got it.
I did, and I'm trying to reach out. I've done a couple of different outreaches this week, and you wind up playing phone tag.
Yeah. Well, he's very interested in, you know, he said perfectly fine, and I gave him your email. So, okay. So, I'm.
And I really appreciate it.
That's what I did.
Tim's been doing some outreach, too, and I'm working that corner of the street as well.
Yeah.
Is this to get you to California, Bob?
A couple of different plans.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about unhatched chickens yet, because sometimes that prevents the chickens from hatching.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Peter Werby told me about how the process under which the people like the Rush Limbaughs get their programs played on, you know, get their programs syndicated. And apparently the radio station up for free. So that's why they're being carried on all these
stations. It's all just
it's cheap.
It's called barter.
Yeah. So, well, you got that to compete against. It's very, very
difficult. No. I would love for this program to be more broadly available, but terrestrial radio is for the most part dead to progressives, and in many ways, terrestrial radio is dead. I mean, even to toddle down the road, because I'm notorious for doing this, especially if I'm driving somewhere that's kind of new to me or I haven't been there in a while or whatever. You know, I'll check out the local radio, but local radio is often mostly gone. I mean, local, you know, there are local stations in Beckley that are voice, you know, it's called voice tracking. Somebody will have, be responsible for 4 hours between 8 p.m. and midnight, and all they do is go in and record digital files that run in the computer software, in the computer automation, as if they were a live DJ. And they're not. They're just gone. And then there are the stations that are running something that's beamed in from satellite via some outfit like Clear Channel.
Well, I guess
when it comes to terrestrial radio, I mean, you know, these mobile devices, smartphones and tablets and these ultra portable laptops and everything, you know, that can stream anything from around the world. People in the 70s and 80s thought shortwave was something else. Oh, I can turn on this radio and hear Cuba and hear
right.
South Africa and hear this. Well, this is streaming. You know, this is hundreds of thousands of radio stations just at your fingertips. And, you know, you can get a data, plan or whatever, stream whatever you want, you know. Well, I won't say wherever you want. You have to be within range of a cell tower. You probably couldn't do it in the sticks of South Dakota, but I mean, you know, most places people are day to day, you know, you can stream anything you want. I would say one of the only things holding streaming back is the fact that, you know, unlimited data is kind of hard to find in a lot of parts of the country. I mean, T-Mobile offers it, Sprint offers it, and Metro PCS offers it, but it's not much available if you're not covered by either of those companies. Unlimited data, streaming is kind of, mobile streaming is kind of held back by that, but still, I mean, it's a force to be reckoned with. And, it is driving a stake through terrestrial radio, and if unlimited data does become more widespread, it'll drive the stake through it more. I won't say AM and FM will ever just stop being, but it'll definitely be relegated to, you know, like, very occasional use only.
Well, it's a commercial vehicle.
But the, what about
unlimited
broadcasting departments in universities and technical schools that teach broadcasters how to be announcers, how to be disc jockeys?
Are they still doing that?
I don't think they do that anymore. You know, where
does the disc jockey go?
But where does it
Yes, they are, Larry. They're just streaming the stations now. That's how it works. I mean, and, I mean, a lot of these schools still have college radio FM stations.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking of that as a different animal, Sergi, because I'm thinking back to the days with the ads for the Columbia School of Broadcasting, not affiliated with CBS.
Right.
You know, that you could sign up for a broadcasting, correspondence course from the back of a matchbook.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are mostly gone. But at the end of the day, most of the people who really, really got good at it by doing it. I'm friends on Facebook with one of the guys that I was a jock with at the Gospel Voice of North Alabama. He was morning drive and I was the evening drive guy. And he's still in it, and to a certain extent, I'm still in it because it once it bites you, you know. You're bit. I mean, this is something you really have. You don't do this. You don't go into radio thinking, "Oh, I'm gonna get rich in radio." You did radio because radio was, you know, this magnificent medium. You know, Malloy calls it theater of the mind, and it is. I as a medium, I far prefer it to television. Because
I got bit by the bug too myself, you know,
yeah.
Because I enjoyed sharing a very unique niche genre of music with people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are certain disc jockeys that had certain styles, and not only their personalities, but also the music that they played at the particular era when they were doing it, and I can't hear those people anymore. And they're not dead. They're still alive. I mean, they're still doing stuff.
Oh, see, you know, this is, no, it, Larry, one of, it's on my lottery list. You know, hit the Mega Millions, hit the Powerball, whatever, buy radio station. And then we're going to staff the radio station, especially on the evening and midnight shift, with little pimply-faced 16-year-olds who, you know, guys or girls, who just, you know, fall in love with radio. And we're gonna, and you know, and this is the other part of the dream. We're gonna do real jocking and run music that's actually played off of vinyl.
Yeah.
I
started out on the college radio station 35 years ago, Bob.
I did my time there too.
I look at the charts, you know, the Billboard charts to see what people are buying or what people are listening to, and it's pretty, what's the word I want to use? It's pretty,
depressing.
Depressing, but also, it's geared toward pop. The bubblegum pop music and a lot of.
Now you're dating yourself by using the phrase bubblegum there, Larry.
Okay.
But, it's highly commercialized. I mean, today's hit music is unlistenable, great. And let's see, what's the other format? Today's hot country is equally unlistenable.
Yeah.
Well, it's country
downhill.
Well, today's hot country is rock and roll from the 1970s, and today's hit music is a Kool-Aid version of hip-hop from the early 90s.
Okay. So how is it that country, that, I don't want to be, you know, that country music and the country culture, and I'm being euphemistic here, got to be sexy? I mean, all of a sudden you have right wing
because
now
the
sexy.
I will dare say that the hardest working music in music segment of the music industry in this country is country. Over in Esquire, there's a Q&A with Taylor Swift, and okay. she talks about how she, you know, it's not like she's, you know, 90 years old or anything, but she talks about how she was schooled in the Nashville approach, which is, you know, really listener fan base oriented, and you know, I guess it's a little more personal. Now, on the other hand, you know, if you're somewhere that you can get it, especially on the AM skip at night, if you want to hear old, I haven't listened in a while. I assume they're still doing it. But if you want to hear what old school country radio sounds like, bring in WSM out of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's and you can listen online too, and it's glorious. You know, that's they carry the Opry and all of that, and it's just damned good fun radio to listen to. I love it.
What about old school soul music?
I don't know where you'd go. I don't know where you would go for that, just because. There's not a lot of likelihood of me finding it here in West Virginia, but some station that does it. But
that was one of Andres Thompson's prophecies coming true.
Yeah, the hogs are in the tunnel.
Because you know, any judgment that I make is coming from a 57-year-old man, and that's really not fair to a young person. Because a young person is fresh. I mean, not fresh in a negative way, but you know, they're coming to the music fresh. To them, the music they're listening to.
And they're not going to radio. And they're not going to radio stations to listen to find it either, Larry.
Okay.
And I mean, that's not to shut down conversation, but that's my understanding of the demographic breakout. Is they're, you know, they're finding it online. They're finding it streams. They're in streams. They're listening on. Listening to songs on YouTube, and a lot of that is a shame because most people aren't listening. When they're listening online, they are not listening to a lossless format.
My science may be off here, but I mean, my impression is that sooner or later those airwaves are going to be used for passing back data packets back and forth anyway. You know, like that's a good way to basically expand internet access itself. Both TV and radio waves.
Now, AM is not a good choice for digital. It's the frequency is too low to make much of a data rate.
Yeah, and about when we talk about discussing current events in some kind of a, you know, we have a pretty good roundtable here, but unless you're listening to listening to a show that has a professor. Or has somebody that's a really good interviewer that wants to educate as opposed to entertain or sensationalize or inflame listeners, you're not going to get a really sophisticated discussion of history or current events or anything like that. I'm trying to look for that right now. I can't really find it on NPR that much anymore. So, you know, I don't know. To me, radio should be, you know, an educational and cultural medium.
Well, we had similar hopes for television back when it was new, too. I mean, that's just
right, and
capitalism doing its thing, in my opinion.
That's precisely what it is. You know, capitalism, you know, TV was going to be this great educational medium, but the American model just turned it over to the capitalists, and, well, amazingly, poor Honey Boo Boo is out in the cold now.
And now we have an entire internet. It's an information age, but, you know. What kind of information are you being saturated with?
Yeah, what was that? That's an
interesting point.
Yeah, by the way, Haley just tweeted and said, WSM AM 650 still on the air, sounds great in AM mono. That's what I listen to when driving late at night. I think I was driving to D.C. one night and managed to catch WSM way up in Northern Virginia, and, yeah, it makes the miles go by. Definitely. Oh, by the way, I want to back up for a minute because we're running out of time.
our buddy Harry in Baltimore did a little digging around on the Mitch McConnell and Mr. Chow's cocaine ship story, and Harry has found, yeah, it's a real story, and it's coming out of mainly it's coming out of the Nation. And so if you want to go to the Nation and find it, it's from yesterday, and Lee Fong is the author, and he does very, very good work. There's even a picture of the Ping Mei. And the shipping company, as he notes, is kind of shadowy. He says the firm leaves a faint online trace. Foremost's website, fmcny.com, is blank. Records and court documents obtained by the Nation show that the ownership of the company's vessels with names such as Ping Mei, Soya Mei, Fu Mei, and Grain Mei is obscured through a Byzantine structure of tax entities. Most of Foremost's vessels are flagged in Liberia. That means crew members of Foremost ships work under Liberia's maritime labor laws, and those labor laws are lax at best and allow for actual intimidation in the workplace, no protections for labor unions. They pay lower tonnage taxes than ships flying the U.S. flag. But by God, if they get in trouble, they call the U.S. Navy. You noticed? Although, sure. apparently the Ping Mei was not interested in any scrutiny from U.S. vessels. But it's a lengthy article and well worth the reading. Requests for comment to the McConnell team about the Ping Mei cocaine incident have gone unanswered. And by the way, this company is where Mitch McConnell, whose real name is Addison, by the way, that's where most of his personal wealth has come from. So worth considering. Also, got a very trenchant email in from Steve in China. He said, vote early, vote often. Here's my concern. America doesn't have a secure, verifiable ballot. Unless votes are cast on paper, marked with number two pencils, and counted by human beings, it isn't really possible to say that your vote or mine has counted for anything. I cast, Steve says, an early ballot at the Miami-Dade County building in 2004 for Kerry. I received, some weeks after the election, a mass mailing letter of congratulations thanking me for my vote from the George W. Bush White House. Did my vote count? If someone hadn't screwed up, would my vote have counted in any event? Folks, pardon my pessimism, Steve says, but I think we're all pissing in the wind here, though I, as you, will gladly keep whizzing away.
Yeah, but then again, how in the world would the Bush campaign know who he voted for in Florida? That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, does it?
Maybe they were just taking a victory lap and they sent one to every voter in Florida. You know, like, haha, thanks a lot, guys.
And by the way, breaking news via Carol, a Mexican judge has just ordered the immediate release of Sergeant Andrew Tomaresi, who's been imprisoned in a Mexican jail since April 1st of this year. Tomaresi, 25, got lost driving near San Diego, California, and crossed the border and has been imprisoned since. Damn, this world. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. He said, I'd be interested to know, and so if you guys want to check it out and maybe report back, and I'll tell Robert. I'd be interested to know if anyone on the panel can access http://www.abc.net.au/radio/listen-online. Okay. And he says, and listen to ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, our communist left-wing socialist streaming radio. I'm not sure if it's available to listen to outside of Australia, and there are podcasts you can download for free. You might want to check it out.
Ask Robert if we can hear John Pilger because I like John Pilger a lot. I think he's really cool.
It is available, by the way.
Oh, you can.
I've listened to it before.
Oh, okay.
Australia.
Cool.
Oh, good. Okay.
And let me just go ahead and note here as we move down, downhill toward the end of the program. I want to thank again everybody who helped us finish the week, which was looking pretty grim. Helped us finish the week to the good. That means thanks to Ralps, this evening, and thanks to Janie, and thanks to, oops, I screwed up. And thanks to Thomas. We are finished with the month of October, and conceivably, you know, got a wee teensy-tiny little start on November, so that's a really, really big deal.
May I horn in?
Jump right in, Devin.
Well, I just wanted to push back on something. The whole thing of, you know, streaming being everything and the end-all and be-all, there are vast swaths of this country with vast numbers of people
who don't have internet,
who don't have internet
or computers,
or too poor to afford the internet that may be available there. And, you know, not everybody has the, you know, the smartphone or,
I was
any
actually
service for the smartphone. And it's, you know, it's very important, I would say, for anything progressive or liberal needs to get a hold of radio.
Thank you, Devin, for saying that.
Because if you don't, you're missing the people that you need to talk to.
Well, that's certainly true, and it's an argument both in favor of expansion of access, because the internet is the future. I remember having a conversation some time back with Dr. John when he was talking about the fact that moving everything to online is a form of discrimination against the aged, the poor, people who don't have online access, and
rural people.
Rural people who can't, or people who live in radio quiet zones, who can't have meaningful access to the internet. By the same token, I think it would do us. We would be well served to. Get serious about trying to retake the FCC. I mean, that's one of those things that matters in a presidential election. What's the FCC going to be like? You know what? Even with a President Hillary, President Hillary Clinton, you're still going to have to battle for net neutrality. But guess what? With a President Jebby, there ain't going to be no fight.
Either way, there's not going to be a fight. There's plenty of fight, but you ain't going to get nothing. I mean, you have to remember that Bill eliminated the fairness doctrine.
No, that was Reagan. Yeah, Bill Clinton signed the Telecommunications Act of 1996. Yeah. And that's what really, really let the barn door run screaming out of let the horse run screaming out of the barn.
By the way, on this internet access, I happen to know of a fellow that lives up on the Salmon River, which here in California, he has fiber optic to his house and no electrical service other than his own generator and solar panels, but he has fiber optic internet at his house.
Yeah,
when it comes to the poor and, you know, access to the internet, it's not necessarily all of the poor anymore, because by this point in time, the urban and suburban poor have, smartphones and smartphone service. I mean, broke as I am, I still have a smartphone, you know, and smartphone service and computer and everything. So when it comes to the urban and suburban poor, internet access, mobile device access, tech access has reached the bottom of that economic pyramid. We still do need to reach that with the rural poor, but, you know, that would take some kind of, you know, internet version, modern 21st century version of FDR's rural.
Well, and yet that exists. There was, Sergio, you may not be aware of this, but there was a huge USDA program for rural internet access expansion. And, for instance, the state of West Virginia got some several millions of dollars of it, and Joe Manchin took it and immediately handed the whole bundle over to Verizon, who then said, thanks, Joe, and announced that they were leaving West Virginia.
Oh, God. Well, I can tell you that in Berkeley, if you don't have a computer, what a lot of people do is they go to the downtown public library and use the computer there. That's not really a solution, but it's the solution, but it's a solution. It's not good enough.
It's a solution for urban and some suburban areas, not all, but some suburban and, you know, urban areas, yeah.
I mean, we've got a public library down in a little town near where I live, and they've got, I think maybe 6 computers wired up to the internet, and if you can get there when they're actually open, you can use it. But the problem is, they shut down, on the days when they're open, they shut down at 5 or 6 o'clock, and most people who might have need of it are still at work.
I wonder how many more years we've got with, you know, public libraries being a thing that most people even have access to anymore.
Remember, public libraries are one of those institutions that the libertarians and the birthers and the deathers and the tenthers and the baggers and the boogerati, we have a new word, the boogerati, despise.
I like
that. Yeah.
If we were trying to do the same system today, it would never happen. I mean, there'd be too many copyright issues. It'd be impossible.
Not even the copyright issues, Horst. The right wing would out there be screaming about, well, why do we want to give away? That's just welfare for them poors.
That's the way they think.
Or they complain it's a place for poor people to hang out, like homeless or whatever.
But until you have meaningful reform,
I wouldn't count on
the
it.
Internet. Until you have, you know, Title II classification, and you have a program where the entire country is covered in free internet, as in gratis free.
Yeah, I remember when Lottie used to argue that the postal service should
compete with radio.
Right. I remember when Lottie used to say that the internet ought to be put in the control of the U.S. Postal Service, which I thought was kind of a lovely and elegant idea. Yes, Bart.
I'm not necessarily arguing for him.
Hey, Bob, we're going to have to take this conversation to late night.
Yes, we are. It is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for a rousing conversation on the front porch. I appreciate it. Happy Halloween, one and all. And since I didn't do it on the program, if you want just a chilling story that goes back to the days before Stephen King, even. A West Virginia author by the name of Brees D.J. Pancake, and the name of the story is Time and Again. It's creepy as hell. Y'all have a great night. And everybody, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you, one and all, for all of your help keeping the program going. Thank you for getting us through the month of October. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Happy Halloween, everyone. And, yep, more and Monday will be here before we know it. And always, 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 Gina. Oh, I forgot. That thing doesn't work. It's still all for you. Bye, y'all.